Father, may the power of your Spirit take these words and bring life to us. Pierce our hearts, open them, and I pray that you would give us the grace and the strength through your Spirit to respond. Come, Holy Spirit, and do the work you long to do among us today. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Well, during this season of Advent, what we're doing on Sunday mornings is we're taking a bit of a journey through a number of the Old Testament prophets that speak about the coming Messiah. And this morning, we're going to look at a passage through the prophet Zephaniah. And I think it's important that we take a look at what the prophets of the Old Testament wrote, because what they show us is such a realistic picture of the condition of humanity. They paint a very realistic picture for you and me of where we are, of where people are in this world, and our need for a Savior. They open our eyes to the desperate condition of our brokenness. And if you're a part of St. Andrew's, you've been around much, we talk about brokenness here because that's the reality of where we are and how we enter into this world. But the prophets also speak of God's judgment, and we're going to see a piece of that this morning. But in the message of judgment, they bring a message of hope. Hope of God's restoring grace among us. The book of Zephaniah is short, 3 chapters. But when you read it, it is a very sobering message. It's one of those that gets our attention very quickly because he speaks about the sins of the people. I want to read a few of the verses from chapter 1 because, friends, it's important that we set the stage of if we're going to understand the beauty of the message we're going to look at in chapter 3, we've got to understand the context and what's behind that. And so here's how Zephaniah opens, speaking these words that God gave him. God's saying this, "I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea and the rubble and the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal and the name of the idolatrous priests, along with the priests, those who bow down on the roofs to the hosts of heaven, those who bow down and swear by the Lord and yet swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of Him." Pretty sobering way to begin a morning, isn't it? But it's God's word to us that we've got to understand. You see, what God is saying in this passage is that the people had turned away. And instead of worshiping the one true God, they worshiped Milcom and Baal and others. And they had this undivided loyalty. And it's because of that undivided loyalty that judgment comes. Do you know why? Because God alone is worthy of our praise. We sang about it. We've already heard about it this morning. God alone is worthy of our praise. And Zephaniah goes on, and in the beginning of chapter 3, he spells out more clearly what the people had done in an offense to him. And I want you to hear these words. Don't think of them as just words from years past before Christ came that don't have any relevance for us today. I think when you hear these words, you'll see how relevant they are today. In fact, Zephaniah could be up here speaking them to our culture today. Listen to what he wrote, Zephaniah 3, verses 1 and 2. "Woe to her who was rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God." Is that not a picture of where our culture is, where so many people are today, listening to no voice, accepting no correction, not trusting in the Lord, not drawing near to God? You see, the reality is judgment comes to people who deny the existence of the living God and who live for their own autonomy, their own independence. That's why judgment comes. And we see it played out here with the Israelites, and it's the same story that's played out through all humanity. That's the reality, friends, of where we find ourselves. Or to put it in a more contemporary light, listen to the words of John Piper. He wrote, "There is in every human, I think, a deep longing to worship something great, to have a God or a hero or some beautiful or something powerful to admire. But there is also in every human the sinful and insatiable longing for self-determination and autonomy. We will do our own thing and get our own glory. Therefore, man does not cease to be a worshiping creature when he rejects the true God. Rather, he searches out a God in his own image who will give him all the leeway he craves and exert on him no moral constraints of which he does not approve. There may be no more arrogant man on the face of the earth than the man bowing humbly before the God he has created in his own image." That's what we see today. Friends, again, that's why judgment comes. It's a sobering reality. Judgment comes for people who have forsaken the love of the God who created us, to make gods in their own image, to serve them, to give them what they want. And that's not how God would have it. But you see, in the midst of this message, this sobering message of judgment, what we find in the prophet Zephaniah's words is that he announces a message of hope. It could be really startling to think if this is how it's only going to be. Yet in the midst of it, this ray of hope, this shining light comes in the darkness to bring hope to humanity, to people. It reminds me, as I think about this, that the scene in Luke's gospel when the shepherds are out in the fields at night, and all of a sudden the angels come and the heavenly hosts come from heaven, and this bright light shines around them, speaking of proclaiming the Savior's birth. It's a picture of light shining in the darkness. God's merciful grace, friends, I want you to hear this. God's merciful grace, His light, His love coming in the midst of our darkness to bring hope. Because had He not done that, we would be going down that horrendous path that we heard from the prophet Zephaniah. So in the midst of this, we find this passage of God's unimaginable love of grace coming upon a people who don't deserve it. You see, the God who is judge, and that's what He is also the God who is gracious. And friends, that's the message of hope that we need to hear. We see this morning the graciousness of God, and then how, when we receive that, how we respond. How does it shape our lives? How does it form and inform how we then go out into the culture, into the communities that God's placed us in? First, I want to look at what has He done for us. He begins by saying this in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." Now, you have to see that message of God's people singing and rejoicing is in the context of this judgment. How in the world can they do that? What would cause them in the midst of lives turned away from God to all of a sudden turn and begin to rejoice? Only one thing. He says it in the next verse. It says, "The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies." Now, I want you to just hear those words this morning and see how they land on you. The Lord has taken away His judgments from upon you. How does that land on you? Is that not the most glorious news? That God, the Creator, the one whom we turned our backs on, it says that the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. How? I mean, think about it. How can a just God take away the judgments that He had against us? Well, He's certainly not turning a blind eye. Any of you who are a parent, you know that when you're child does something wrong, you don't just turn away and ignore it. You do something about it. And that's exactly what God has done. But the beauty of this message is, as He proclaims, the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He's cleared away your enemies. He then goes on to say, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one to save. The reason why we celebrate Advent, it's all about the Lord coming near. Do you see this? He tells them, the Lord your God is in your midst. He is the mighty one who will save. The people couldn't save themselves. They were caught up in their own sin. Friends, we can't save ourselves. Left to ourselves, there's no way we would choose God. But God comes among us, and He Himself saves. What is so beautiful about this passage, friends, that we've got to grasp and let it sink into our hearts, is that God came among us. He is the mighty one who saves, and you know how He did it? By going to the cross for us. He came among us, this mighty one, who His wrath and His judgment were against us, but He loves His people so much that as He entered into humanity, the most bizarre thing happened. He was the one who actually saved His people because we couldn't do it. And that's why we celebrate the reality of Christ coming among us, because He's the one who ultimately went to the cross, who bore our punishment for us, so that you and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus, no longer stand condemned. We no longer stand under His punishment. You see, when we receive God's mercy, when He comes to us, when He comes and He opens our eyes, there's the call to repentance and a call to surrender. And when we do, we receive this most glorious gift, His judgments taken away. I love what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The author writes, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." It's a picture of God coming among us, what He alone can do, what He alone longs to do. He longs to restore. He longs for us to know that the judgment has been taken away. But what I love about this passage, not only do we see that we're delivered from God's judgment, because that we are, but we also gain entrance into God's joy. I want you to think about that. Not only has He taken His judgment away from us, but we gain entrance into God's joy. Here's what we read. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." Now let me ask you this. Is that your experience today? Do you hear the Lord rejoicing over you with singing, friends? Do you hear Him exalting over you with loud singing? Not just a little meek melody that we can sometimes sing, but He exalts over us with loud singing. Do you know why? Because we're the redeemed ones. You see? Amen to that. Here's the reality. He's taken His judgment away. So why would He not rejoice over us with singing? But I know the reality. Some of you walked in here this morning and you're feeling the weight of judgment. You're a follower of Jesus, but yet in spite of that, you still feel the weight of judgment. Not over what you did yesterday, oh yeah, you feel that. But you still feel the weight of judgment on something you did 15 years ago. Friends, if it's true that the Lord has taken away the judgments against you, why do you and I keep picking them back up? You see, He's broken the chains. And we talked about a number of weeks ago, we're the ones, sadly, that keep going around and picking up those chains and putting them around us. He has set us free. What I want you to hear this morning, and you need to hear this, friends, if you're a follower of Jesus, God is not angry with you. He can't be anymore. Because His justice has been satisfied. And the response is to receive, to hear. the Savior rejoicing over you with singing. Now, what difference will that make in your life if we truly believe that? The judgments are gone, and He now rejoices over us. Friends, I love it says that He quiets you with His love. One of the commentaries I read said that in God quieting us with His love, what He's doing is He's quieting the enemy's voice so that we hear more loudly the voice of God's delight in His song over us. He rejoices over you with singing. He rejoices over you with singing. He exalts over you with loud song. Friends, when we receive that, when we live more fully out of that, you know what the response is? It can't help but be living our lives more fully onto this glorious mission that we've been given, that we too would be heralds of this good news. You see, if we really loved our neighbors, you know the summary of the Ten Commandments, loving God and loving neighbors? If we really loved our neighbors, we would be going out into the community. We would be telling people at work. We would be talking to our families. We would be getting to know people that we don't yet know because we want to show them this incredible love of a God who came to take the judgment away. And we can do it because we're free. We're free because we're sent out with God rejoicing over us with singing. You see, friends, the greater mission of our lives, the calling as followers of Jesus, is that you and I would be heralds, not just these little meek and mild people who maybe say something every now and then, but that we would be heralds of this glorious news, God coming to take His judgment away. Friends, that's what Advent is all about. And as Christ comes to bring us the glorious message of the Father's love, we then are sent out into the community to proclaim this love, to proclaim who he is and what He's done. That's why we're here. This morning, I told the first service, I've been looking forward to this day for a long time, because this morning we are commissioning, we're sending out the men and women and kids of the St. Peter's Church plant in North Little Rock to go and live on mission in North Little Rock. And to those of you who are here this morning that are a part of that, I want to give you this charge. What you've been called to, the mission of your life going forward, is that you would be heralds of this good news. That God has called you to go out into the communities of North Little Rock, into the neighborhoods, to proclaim that God reigns. That He has come among us. That He's come among us to take the judgment away. And to meet us in our brokenness. And to show us mercy and grace, and to exalt over us with loud singing. That's the message. That's the mission. But you see, it's not just for those of you who are part of St. Peter's. It's for every one of us in this room who are followers of Jesus. The call of our lives, friends, is that we would live so much on mission that the words we say, the lives we live, would reflect this glorious light coming in the darkness. That God would put us in the darkness of other people's lives, that He would shine forth His light, that we could tell them this glorious message. God is just, there is a judgment, but He's also gracious. And He comes to set people free. You see, I mentioned it a minute ago, we live in a culture today where more and more people are denying the existence of God. More and more people are living lives for their own autonomy. People are creating gods in their own image to give them what they want. And friends, here's the reality, and this is a challenge for you and me. If we really loved Him, we would draw near. Because we would draw near with a message that will set them free. You know why one creates a god in their own image? Because there's a longing. There's a longing for something that they cannot do themselves. And so people create gods in their own image to give them what they want. In other words, we're all searching for something, right? We're all searching for something. And the truth is this: whatever reality we try to create for ourselves apart from God will never satisfy our deepest longing. Now, people don't see that. But if we come upon them with love, and we enter their worlds, and we walk alongside them, and we get to know their story, and we stop judging them, but we love them, we're going to see that connection of where we're able to bring the glorious news of the gospel into their deepest longing and need. And friends, that will set people free. I saw a glimpse of it Tuesday night. For those of you who were here, we had Christmas blessing. It's our time that we bring in kids and families from Wilson Elementary School. I think we had over 600 people here that were a part of that school. And it was simply amazing. And the most beautiful part of the night for me was when we had the time of prayer. And we invited anybody who was here to come up for prayer. Something between 75 and 85 people came forward for prayer. Now, if that doesn't tell you we live in a world of need, I don't know what will. Like the 9-year-old boy who came up to me and he said, "Pray for my anger issues." A 9-year-old recognizing his need. Or the mother of preteen girls coming up and saying, "Pray for me, I need unity in my family. We need peace." Coming with a need. Or this young dad who came up to me, I think he was a teenage dad, and he came up for prayer, and I said, "How can I pray for you?" And he just stood there and he said, "Just pray." And there was this desperation on his face. And I said, "Is there anything I can pray?" But no, he goes, "Just pray. Just pray." Friends, Tuesday night is a picture of all of us. We come searching. We come desperate. The people in Little Rock, the people in North Little Rock, there's a desperation there for hope, for something better than what we're experiencing. You see, even if they can't articulate it, it's there. And it's there because there's a God-shaped hole in all of us. You see, that's why God sent His Son. That's why God sent His Son to come among us, to redeem, to restore, to bring hope. And the incredible privilege you and I now have is to go out into the communities with God's restorative message of grace, calling people to repentance, calling them to turn from those false gods, those idols which will give them nothing, to the God who offers life, acceptance, peace, joy, who takes away all of the judgment and forgives us and rejoices over us with singing. I want to end with what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, quoting from the Old Testament. "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." To those of you who are part of North Little Rock, how beautiful are your feet that take the good news to the communities of North Little Rock. How magnificent are your words, how strong are your hands to come bring life in a community, a longing for a Savior. And for the rest of us here, how beautiful are our feet to bring the good news to our neighbors, to get to know them, to enter their worlds, to serve them with our hands, to speak to them with our lips, and through God's brilliant and gracious light, shine forth and break into their darkness, that they would come to life. There's nothing more that we can celebrate this Advent than that glorious reality. Father, we lift this to You. I pray that You would do a life-transforming work among us today. And in the days ahead, Father, there are so many people who long to hear this. Give us a heart. Change our hearts. Give us a longing to show forth Your love, because we are people who have been set free. And let us live in that freedom and live every moment of every day hearing the beautiful song that you sing over us, that we are yours. We thank you for it. We are humbled by it. Would you continue to transform us through this? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.